you stand to your feet this morning for God's word. I also just want to publicly honor and thank my wife who cared for our children in our home. I love you. I couldn't do this without you. Appreciate you. We're partnering in crime. For us, it's just a special opportunity, a special moment, and we thank God for the trust that our pastors have in being able to share with you guys this morning and lead. Without further ado, we're going to have Eden Medina come with this morning's word. So could you just give her a hand clap this morning? Amen. As she shares God's word with you and what the Lord has laid in our heart. We love you, Eden.
God bless you, church. Let us just pray really quickly together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. Thank you for giving the youth the courage, the boldness to step out to do what you have called them to do. Thank you, my God, for just loving us and showing grace and mercy on each and every one of our lives while we were out there. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with the church and show them, my God, that their dedication to us, their prayers, my God, what they have done for each and every one of us. So we are just so thankful for the church family that you have given us. We are so thankful for your love on our lives. And we are so thankful for La Lomita Elohim in the Dominican Republic, Jesus, because as the youth said, it has made an eternal impact on us. So we praise you, we glorify you, and the church says,
amen.
Amen. You may all be seated. Just to start off, as you heard, like, we've had such an awesome time in the Dominican Republic. I am so proud of each and every one of the youth who went out, anybody who you see in one of our orange t-shirts, we are just so proud of them. And something that I just want to share is these youth are unbelievable. We went there, we had a mission, we had a goal, but the personal part that impacted me the most was because of the money that we raised, because of your donations, each youth was able to have $50 American dollars in their pocket, which was 2,500 pesos, about. And it was used for food and to buy souvenirs for our friends and family when we came back. We went, we bought souvenirs, you know, we bought what we did. And at the end, we came home, you know, we're packing our bags, and the kids on their own were like, hey, like, we have this leftover money. Like, we have all these pesos. Like, we're not going to do anything with this. And they said, why don't we pool our money together and give it to the youth of La Lomita? And that touched my heart. I was just like in awe. You know, these kids are being given this money and they're here. We don't need this. I want to give it back. And I am so proud of them. And we had like five youth that were with us, constantly working with us. And each one of them were able to get 33 US dollars each. And in La Lomita, a lead carpenter makes $25 in one day. So these kids were able to receive more than an adult's pay just from these kids and their hearts saying, I want to give this. So let that just be evident that God showed that this is not something they had to do. This was not part of our itinerary. This was not part of our budget and our plan. But God just touched them and they came back with this giving spirit. And I'm just so proud of them and their hard work and everything that they did. And I love you guys. So our mission as a youth group is to love, serve, and reach. And this trip gave us the opportunity just to do that on a completely different level, outside of Outbreak, outside of our four walls. And we went to love and serve, and the people of La Lomita just served and loved on us. And it was the most humbling experience. God spoke to us individually, and I'm going to share just kind of what God placed on my heart during this trip. You all can remain seated, but I'm just going to read Matthew 20, and I'm going to read just verses 10 to 16. This is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. So it says this, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last to work only worked an hour, and they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of those who worked in the heat of the entire day. But he answered to one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Don't you agree to work for denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I give you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? And verse 16 says, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. In Matthew 20, we see that Jesus' parable is just this beautiful explanation of God's grace. God's grace over our lives. God's grace in just what we're doing here. And 3 points that I personally took from this was, one, God's grace is for everybody. 2, the one sharing God's grace is not above the one hearing it. And 3, through God's grace, the last will be first. In this point one, God's grace is for everyone. Often in my life, I find that it's really easy to share the gospel with the people who I want to share the gospel with. That, like, favorite primo who you're like, God loves you, like, Merry Christmas. Like, you're just loving on them always. That best friend that you're hanging out with in school, that you meet in your universities, all of that. The visitors in Outbreak, when we go to fests, we just want to love on everyone. We want everyone to accept Christ. And all of those things, but we have to remember that God's grace is not just for the people who we want God's grace to be for. God's grace is for everyone. We want to share that good news of everlasting life and that relationship with Jesus with everybody. That's such a gift, and it's selfish for us to harbor it for just for those who we want. This message is for the lazy coworker. This message is for that really bad boss. I had a really bad boss once, and my time in Walgreens, I just had a really bad boss. But my parents would always say, show her love, show her grace. And I don't want to, like, no. But this trip just constantly reminded me of this lady. And I was like, wow, I have to show this woman love. I have to show this woman grace. This message is not just for the people who I want. It's for those people. It's for the rude barista in our lives. It's for the person who cut us off on the highway. God's grace is for everyone. It's for the homeless man that we pass on the street every morning on our way to work. It's not for just those who we choose. Romans 1:16 says, for I am unashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, first the Jew and also the Gentile. And I love that. First the Jew, also the Gentile. That just shows that this is for everybody. It's not just for you. It's not just for the believers. It's not just for those who we think are deemed worthy, you know. It's not about that. It's this gospel is for everybody. And God's grace is for everybody. And God's mercy is for everybody. And that's just something that really touched my life. We have to share the good news, not just on mission trips. You know, we were all real bold out there. We were able to go to old people and just hug them. We were able to go, you know, to these little orphans and just love on them and carry them. And it was natural. And I was like, we need to take this back home with us. That same boldness in Christ, that same love, that same desire to see, to have these people see Christ's love through us is something that's not just for the outside missions field, but it's for the mission field that we walk every day. God's grace is for everybody, and we need to make sharing God's grace part of our everyday lives. In point two, it says, the one sharing God's grace is not above the one hearing it. And this touched me so deeply while we were in La Lomita. We should realize that as Christians, just because we know Christ and we are aware of his mercy and grace in our lives, that does not put us above anybody else. We are one body and we are here to love and support one another. We all come from a place where we needed God's grace in our lives, and he showed us that mercy. We've all had our woman in the well experience where we needed Christ, where we needed God to call us out in our sin, to call us out in our shame, but we needed that taste of that living water. Just as God called out the woman in the well in love, after that experience, after that encounter, she was only then able to go share the good news. So we have to remember that we had our experience. We were that woman at the well where God called us out, that God saw us in our need, And it was only after that encounter with Jesus that we are able to go and share. So we have to remember that God's goodness and his grace, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness in our lives works in us first. We are not above anybody else. We are also in a place of need. We are constantly in a place of needing God's love, needing his outpouring of his spirit on our lives daily. So we have to remember to share the gospel in humility. We are in need of this love constantly. And just because you know Christ, just because you are aware of his love and his mercy and his goodness, that doesn't put me, you, any of us above anybody else. We are constantly need to remember that God's grace is for everybody, and it doesn't make us above anyone else just because we're aware of it. Lastly, and just this point, it says in verse 16, through God's grace, the last will be first. And on our mission trip, we were working really hard. There were 4 days straight of just work, 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 work. And we got off the plane on Wednesday. Some of us were here sleeping on bancos. You could like see it in the cameras. We like put the chairs together over there to make beds because our flight left really early in the morning. We were on very little sleep. We sleep on the plane, we get off, we put our stuff in the house, and then we made 4 home visits. I think that these 4 home visits impacted me the most. Seeing our kids just kind of take the lead. Pastor Carlos giving us no heads up, and he's like, "Hey, Brianna, why don't you say some words?" We're just like, "Okay, Jalen, you're in the next house. Okay, you know, Caleb, share something." And without any fear, these kids just stepped out in faith and just share what God put in their heart. And through this trip, I felt this constant conviction, seeing all these people with so little and knowing back home that I had this overabundance of everything. Like Brianna shared, I had AC, I had, you know, windows that opened, you know, I had windows that closed, I had a lock on my door, all of these things. And in one of the home visits we made, it was a small house, and this woman, she was a mother with 2 daughters, one of the age of 24 and who was 28, and they were very sick. We don't know their diagnosis, and I'm no doctor by any means of any type, but just by looking at them and seeing their situation, my kind of prediction was that they had Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a disorder in your body, where your immune system attacks your nerves. It causes weakness and tingling in your extremities, and those are usually the first symptoms that are being seen. The sensations spread quickly, eventually paralyzing the entire body. The reason for this is unknown, and there is no cure. I had worked in my studies with kids with Guillain-Barré syndrome. And, you know, these kids have proper therapies. These kids have people pouring into them, visiting them. But it was just this mom and these 2 girls, very close in age, and she had been taking care of these girls for 28 years. That's an entire lifetime of this mom pouring everything that she had into these girls. And that shook me to my core. This mother was taking care of them, and her love was evident to them. She had to do everything for these girls. They could not walk. They could not speak. They could not move without her help. And I was sitting there, and it hit me. I was like, God, like, how can you let this happen? God, like, this woman, you know, she didn't do anything. This is just the situation that she was in. It was the situation that these girls were in. But there she was, happily loving on her girls. There she was, happily taking care of them, happily letting us into her home to worship with her, to just love on her, to share with her and her daughters. That experience touched me to my core. And as I was sitting, the house is too small for all of us to fit. We were a really big group. So I was standing outside a window, and I was looking into their bedroom. And I remember God just putting that verse 16 in my heart saying, "Don't worry, the last shall be first." And it was that moment that I was like, God, you are so good. Because I was struggling in that moment where I'm watching them and I'm like, this is hard. This mom, she has it hard. These daughters have it hard. You know, and here we are, like, choosing which lives are worth living. Here we are choosing, you know, what we can do. I left, I was like, wow, I have the choice to follow my dreams. I have the choice to go to school, to pursue something that I love. And here it is, this woman, this is her only choice, and she's doing it gladly. And I was like, God, The first will be last. And that gave me a sense of peace in my heart, knowing that though right now it may seem difficult, God is in total control of the situation. And though it's not about giving these people pity, it's not about that. It's just showing them love and letting them know the last will be first. Through this trip, I just saw God's grace everywhere that I went. I saw his love pour favor onto our group, pour favor onto the people that we were working with, to those who we were serving, everywhere. Everywhere I went, it was just evident of God's grace. And it was the first, it wasn't, not the first, but it was the most evident time in my life where I saw God's grace so close. I was like, God, it is so good. I can't forget that God's grace is for everyone, that he leaves the 99 for the one, that he loves all of us, and he wants all of us to be able to encounter him. He wants all of us to be able to have a relationship with him. We can't forget that just because we are the ones sharing the gospel, that doesn't make us any better. We walk humbly. We are not better than anyone, and God saw us in our time of need. He reached us. He delivered us, and it's only because of his grace and his mercy over our lives that we even have the opportunity to share the good news. Lastly, I just have to remember that at the end of the day, through God's grace, the last will be first. My mom once said, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And we are only able to receive, we are only able to share the good news of God's grace over our lives because of Jesus' sacrifice. We are only able to be given even this opportunity. We are only able to share this love. We are only able to be loved because of Jesus' sacrifice. And that is something that I just want to leave you guys with, that is something that God put in my heart, that yes, all of this, we're doing these great things, but it's only because of Jesus' sacrifice. I pray that you are all blessed. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.